Now on Georgia Admission Street, this is FieldBud.com, the week in Georgia and English, coming to you from the Impact Hub of San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 29th of October, 2015. On this date in 539 BC, founder of the Persian Empire, Cyrus the Great, entered the capital of Babylon and allowed the Jews to return back to Israel, ending the Babylonian captivity. 969, Byzantine troops occupy Antioch, Syria. 1675, Leibniz makes the first use of the long S as a symbol of the integral in calculus. 1863, 18 countries meet in Geneva to agree to form the International Red Cross. 1886, the Statue of Liberty is dedicated in New York City Harbor. 1918, German sailors begin to mutiny when the German Admiralty orders a pointless attack on the British Navy. 2 days later, strikes in Kiel, then elsewhere. Within 2 weeks, the proclamation of a republic, the abdication of the Kaiser, and the end of the First World War. Very interesting story, operationally, how wars actually end. Worthy of a look. 1921, second trial of Sacco and Vanzetti. 1922, King Victor Emmanuel III of Italy appoints Benito Mussolini as prime minister. 1923, Turkey becomes a republic following the dissolution of the Ottoman Empire. 1948, Israeli soldiers capture Palestinian village of Safsaf in the Galilee and massacre the residents after they had surrendered. 1960, in Louisville, Kentucky, Cassius Clay, who later takes the name Muhammad Ali, wins his first professional fight. 1961, Syria exits from the United Arab Republic. 1962, Khrushchev orders withdrawal of missiles from Cuba. 1965, Arrow Saarinen's Gateway Arch of St. Louis is completed. Nobody famous was born today. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiaka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. We hadn't had any questions for a while, so think of something you want to know about and we'll talk about it. And on the never-ending saga of Rustavi Ori, which may be about to end soon, boss Nika Gvaramia said live on TV that he knew from a source that on the next day, the 22nd of October, the judge in the lawsuit case would deliver a verdict in favor of businessman Kibar Khalvashi. He also said that he was blackmailed by the government to step down, or else videos compromising his personal life would be leaked. Hearing the next day, Judge Tamas Urtmelidze said that he would require at least several days to deliver a final verdict. Hundreds of people gathered outside of Rustavi II's headquarters in Tbilisi, as well as outside the court building, saying that they will defend the TV station. The case resumed in court after the weekend on the 26th of October. The judge ordered Rustavi II's lawyers to present an estimate of their expected losses after the court ordered the seizure of the company's property. Rustavi Ori will have to submit the documents by the 30th of October. The defense filed a motion in court demanding compensation for over $700,000 in losses since the asset freeze in August. The judge turned it down, saying they have to produce a document with detailed calculations of their losses. Foreign governments and organizations involved in Georgia have been speaking out on the Rustavi Ori case. On the 22nd of October, the OSCE representative on freedom of media, Dunia Mitovic, reiterated that she is concerned over the ongoing ownership dispute, the freezing of their assets, and its implications for media pluralism in Georgia. This is the second time she's made a public statement on Rustavi Ori since August. On the 26th of October, the EU delegation to Georgia said in a statement that they are closely monitoring the media environment in Georgia and that they have concerns to be addressed. They reminded in their statement that a, quote, a pluralistic political and media landscape is an essential component of Georgia's democracy and its European choice, end quote. And the U.S. State Department has made a number of statements that they're watching the case. Backtracking a bit, on the 22nd of October, Gvaramia was questioned by prosecutors as part of the investigation into his allegations from the day earlier that he received a threat from the government to leak about leaking a video related to his personal life. Rustavi Ori heard Gvaramia claimed that the message was about the court verdict was conveyed to him through an intermediary between him and the government. He also explained that Prime Minister Khatabashvili personally told him at an earlier point that this person would be the one who would inform him of the government's views. After questioning Gvaramia, the prosecutor's office revealed that the middleman is Alexei Akhlediani. Akhlediani has been the president of Georgia Athletics Federation since 2011. He was also head of the organizing committee of the European Youth Olympics Festival of 2015, which was held in Tbilisi this past summer. Prosecutor's office also said that it offered Vadamia special protection measures for him and his family. Vadamia declined, saying he plans to send his family to the U.S. So then Akhlediani was also summoned by the prosecutor's office for questioning. According to Akhlediani's testimony, he confirmed that he met with Vadamia, that he is his good friend, but strongly denies that he passed on any message from the government or anyone else. On the evening of the 28th of October, Vadamia made another plea on live TV for his supporters to rally outside the broadcast headquarters the next day and accuse Judge Urtmelidze of depriving them of the right to a fair trial. So the next trial day is on October 30th, tomorrow. In a brief statement on the 24th of October, the State Security Service said that it opened an investigation under Article 315 of the Criminal Code involving a conspiracy to overthrow the government. Said that the probe was launched based on, this is a great quote, based on operative investigative activities carried out by the Counterintelligence Department and information reported in media outlets, end quote. They declined to elaborate on this statement. The information reported in media outlets appears to be a reference to a text which was posted on a site called Ukrainian WikiLeaks, which is hosted and registered in Russia, and which was reprinted and reported in some Georgian media outlets on the 23rd of October, including Imedi TV. The site publishes numerous unsubstantiated stories about Misha, so the text is allegedly a transcript of a conversation between Misha and Giga Bokeria, one of the leaders of the UNM, in the Istanbul airport on the 22nd of October. According to this text, Misha and Bokeria were speaking about plotting an attack against Rustavi Ody TV personnel in order to trigger mass protests against the government. An hour after the State Security Service made its announcement, the Interior Ministry said that it would install surveillance cameras in the area surrounding Rustavi Ody TV headquarters in Tbilisi to keep the area under round-the-clock monitoring, citing security reasons. They also said the patrol police crew will be on duty around the clock in the area to provide security for the TV employees and to prevent expected provocations. Then, later in the evening, on the same day, the 24th of October, UNM leader Bokeria was questioned by investigators for the State Security Service after being summoned as a witness in connection to the investigation into the alleged conspiracy to overthrow the government. Bokeria said after that, "It's a real pity that employees of our counterintelligence waste so much time on a foolish, absurd issue." A few days later, on the 27th of October, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usubashvili expressed skepticism about the possibility of a coup plot. He said that he views with suspicion the materials that were published on the Ukrainian site and claims that if a criminal probe is conducted solely based on information provided by the site, it's problematic for law enforcement agencies, and if they have other grounds for making the investigation, it will be made clear soon. Following up on last week's stories, on the 24th of October, Prime Minister Kharibashvili again spoke about the video from 2011 that were recently leaked that show the rape and torture of detainees by police. He accused the UNM and its leaders of being the architects of torture, saying that there is no place for violent politicians in Georgia, going into a lot of detail that they are sadists and dirt. He also accused the UNM of politicizing ordinary legal proceedings, such as the Rustavi Ody lawsuit. Kharibashvili said more, attacking the media, that all the other major television stations are opposition broadcasters who follow an agenda set by those sadists and executioners. He was speaking at an outdoor campaign rally in Martvili and Samogrelo, which, as a reminder, will have an MP by-election on the 31st of October. As a reminder, the week before, Kharibashvili said that the UN doesn't deserve to be in politics and aggression against them is natural. Civil society groups condemned Kharibashvili's violence inciting remarks, as did President Margvelashvili in a televised speech. On the 23rd of October, President Margvelashvili called on the parliamentary speaker and the prime minister to meet with him in any format acceptable to them to discuss issues of huge significance for the country. Margvelashvili then launched consultations with political parties, media, and a broad range of civil society representatives, but parties in the Georgian Dream Coalition snubbed the consultations. Foreign Minister Georgi Kvirikashvili also called on people to refrain from spilling their emotions into the streets, referring to a specific incident in which a pro-government group attacked a businessman who's the brother of a former high-ranking police official from the UNM government. Foreign Minister Fidikas Vili also condemned the outdoor screening of the leaked 2011 rape videos in public a week ago. An evening of 26th of October, President Margvelashvili met with Parliamentary Speaker Datta Usupashvili at the Presidential Palace. They discussed the importance of dialogue. Usupashvili echoed a similar statement he made earlier, saying that politicians should unequivocally and unconditionally denounce all forms of violence and contribute to civil accord, referring likely to Garibashvili's remarks. On the 27th of October, President Margvelashvili met with Kibar Khalvashi as part of his efforts to meet with relevant actors to discuss the situation in the Rustavi Ori case. Khalvashi said they asked President Margvelashvili to monitor the court case because, as he and his lawyer claimed, the court is under huge pressure from the UNM. On the 28th of October, at a government session, Prime Minister Garibashvili called on everyone to remain calm. He again mentioned the leaked torture video and said that while, of course, those videos cause outrage, I want to appeal to the public and request that they maintain calm. Securing stability is in our interest. Therefore, I ask you to hold back emotions. On the 26th of October, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze met again with the chief executive of Gazprom, Alexei Miller, this time in Milan. In a brief statement, the Energy Ministry said they discussed extending the existing agreement on transit service as well as terms and conditions for the supply of additional volumes of natural gas. Kaladze confirmed, however, that talks over the possible commercial supplies are still ongoing and no agreement is yet reached. As a reminder, on the 20th of October, Kaladze reiterated that Georgia will have to buy gas from Gazprom on top of what the country is already receiving as a transit fee, claiming that there is no possibility to import additional volumes of gas from Azerbaijan, which is Georgia's main supplier, and that the additional gas is required to fill the gap amid increasing gas consumption in Georgia, which he said is expected to reach 2.5 billion cubic meters in 2015, a 27% increase since 2012. For now, we don't have an explanation as to who is consuming this much more gas and for what. We're trying to look into it. If you have any ideas, please let us know. The next day, on the 27th of October, BI weighed in and said that Georgia should diversify its gas supplies, including through purchasing additional gas from Georgia's state monopoly, Gazprom, as well as through the important transit of Iranian gas. He argued that the entire Europe is being supplied with Russian gas. There's no crime if Georgia buys Russian gas. He said that Georgia is grateful to Azerbaijan and its state energy company, Socar, but there will be nothing but good if there is more than just one company on the market. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze announced on the 28th of October that he plans to visit Tehran in mid-November to discuss whether it's possible to bring in Iranian natural gas. On the 22nd of October, a priest from the Georgian Orthodox Church and three others were cleared of charges that they disrupted an anti-homophobia rally in Tbilisi on the 17th of May, 2013. It's been a two-year-long trial. Tbilisi court found that the four were not guilty of impeding the right of assembly with the use of force. As a reminder, on the 17th of May, 2013, a group of pro-tolerance activists, me among them, began a meeting in central Tbilisi to mark the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, but were attacked by an angry mob of thousands of people that was led and protected by Orthodox priests. Many had to flee in order to escape. The priest who is now acquitted, Father Yotam, was the one seen chasing somebody with a stool, or as he has now become known, he's the taburetka guy, which everyone then memed gloriously. If you want to check out some of the artwork, Google taburetka priest. That's T-A-B-U-R-E-T-K-A. He was also captured on video slamming the stool in the front window of a bus carrying the activists out of the area. Tbilisi City Court said there was a lack of cumulative evidence to prove the defendant's guilt beyond reasonable doubt, which is complete malarkey, of course. Initially, another Orthodox cleric was also charged in May 2013. He was captured in video at the 17th of May rally swearing and shouting, "We will kill you." However, at the early stage of the court proceedings, the judge dropped charges against him, citing lack of evidence. The 25th of October, the Constitutional Court ruled that using imprisonment as a punishment for purchasing and possessing up to 70 grams of marijuana for personal use is unconstitutional. The court said that that amount of marijuana does not imply intent to sell. Therefore, imprisonment for it, which can be from 7 to 14 years, amounts to inhuman and cruel treatment that infringes upon human dignity and is in conflict with the second part of Article 17 of the Constitution. The Constitutional Court said that its decision does not mean the decriminalization of marijuana and does not apply to cases where the obvious purpose for possessing marijuana, regardless of the amount, is to sell. The application to the court to repeal imprisonment as a punishment for the possession of marijuana for personal use was filed by Beka Tsiskarishvili. He was actually suing the parliament in the Constitutional Court. He was facing criminal charges from a case in spring of 2014 for possessing 69 grams of marijuana, which is classified by law as a large amount. His case caused widespread sympathy and protest in Georgia. There was a Beka is not a criminal campaign by his friends to prevent his imprisonment. BI gave a lengthy interview to Imedi TV on the 25th of October. He criticized the UNM, President Margvelashvili, and said there is excessive fuss and hysteria over the Rustavi Odi ownership dispute. He said things like, the government has said before that Rustavi Odi is a UNM propaganda and lie machine, that the government has no involvement in the case. Yeah. In terms of who wins the case, he is in favor of justice. He also called Margvelashvili completely irresponsible for his TV statements on Rustavi Odi and the escalated political climate. And keeping up with an old grudge, he reiterated his criticism of President Margvelashvili for refusing to give up the presidential palace built by Misha. Speaking about the Georgian Dream Coalition in the 2016 elections, BI said that the Otsneba Coalition has his full backing and he will be actively supporting their campaign ahead of the fall 2016 parliamentary elections. But that the Georgian Dream's parliamentary group, of course, has to be reshuffled. That there are many figures in parliament who come from sports, science, and art circles, but that many of them are not for parliamentary work, and so they should endorse other people better suited for lawmaking. He said that maybe half the current lawmakers would remain on the party list. BI also mimicked statements made in previous weeks by the government about the new NDI public opinion poll fielded by CRC, saying that he doesn't trust polls fielded by CRC because its leadership is affiliated with UNM. As a reminder, that poll showed a decline in support for Georgian Dream and a lot of undecided voters. Georgia was elected a member of the United Nations Human Rights Council for a three-year term, the vote of UN General Assembly on the 28th of October. This is the first time Georgia will take the seat, 47-member Geneva-based council. Georgia will be a council member for the period up until from 2016 to 2018 and will be eligible to be re-elected for a second term. Foreign Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili is on an official visit to Berlin on the 26th and 28th of October. He met with his German counterpart, with Angela Merkel's foreign and security policy advisor, as well as with business lobby groups representing German industry in Eastern Europe. Following up on Misha in Odessa, in Ukraine on the 25th of October, there were local elections. Some observers reported election fraud in Odessa, such as numerous instances of carousel voting, multiple voting lists, exit poll workers agitating for candidates, a lack of protocols, bribing of voters by candidates, and too many ballots at some sites. Others said the elections were fine. The incumbent mayor of Odessa won the mayoral elections. Misha supported the one who came in second. On the 28th of October, Misha led a major rally against voting fraud. On the 23rd of October, Russian soldiers reportedly with South Ossetian authorities detained three people grazing cattle near the administrative boundary line in Kaspi District. The Moldovan Minister of Defense was on an official visit, met with Defense Minister Tinico Hidashelli. Georgia will share its military experiences with Moldova. The Moldovan military will train at the new NATO Joint Training and Evaluation Center. Armenian President Serzh Sarkisian is paying a working visit to Georgia on the 30th of October. Member of Parliament Gogi Topadze, who is the leader of the Industrialist Party and part of the Georgian Dream ruling coalition, openly praised Stalin and called him the greatest Georgian of the 20th century. Topadze was on the talk show Factor on Maestro. He said that soon a picture of Stalin will be hung in every office because he was a brilliant person, adding that he was a symbol of Georgia, that the world knows that Stalin defeated fascism, and so Georgians don't have any business in bad-mouthing him. And after all, there's a statue of Mussolini in Italy, which I'm not sure if there is, but that's what he said. According to Russia's food safety government monitor. They prohibited imports of animal products from Georgia. They posted a report on their site saying that it's because of the unstable situation in Georgia concerning the African swine plague and malanderers. They said the restriction does not apply to fish and sea products. Nobody in Georgia seems to have heard a whole lot about the African swine plague. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 29th of October, Justice Minister Ted Tsiloukiani announced that two candidates have been presented for the post of Chief Prosecutor. They are Kacha Kachishvili, current Minister of Corrections, and Irakli Shotadze, who's Deputy Chief Prosecutor. Tsiloukiani said that consultations will last until the 13th of November, called on universities, NGOs, lawyers, associations, and others to provide her with further candidates. Georgia's Parliamentary Interfactional Working Group won the Open Government Partnership Inaugural Award. The Government Champions Award aimed to show the ideal collaborative relationship between government and civil society while developing a national action plan. Georgia undertook the obligation when Parliament joined the Open Government Partnership in February 2015. One of their initiatives was aimed at public awareness the activities of Parliament, its role and mission, holding a Parliamentary Openness Week and establishing public education programs for citizens to share their views, using more innovative technologies to make people aware of Parliament and encouraging the involvement of youth and ethnic minorities. From the 1st of January 2016, excise tax will be reduced for alcohol made of fruit and grapes from the current 9.2 lati to 6 lati. It was approved by the Economic Council led by Minister Karabashvili. Universities in Georgia and from the EU are leading academic and research projects within the framework of the European Neighborhood Program for Agricultural and Rural Development, or NPARD. It involves Limerick University in Ireland, the Agrarian University in Chipa. Projects are meant to promote agricultural education and development with the involvement of research institutions. Each project gets 350,000 euros and will last 18 months. Georgia will host the 2017 Southeastern Europe Defense Ministerial, or SEDM, S-E-D-M, according to the Defense Ministry. The announcement came at the end of this year's SEDM conference in Dubrovnik, Croatia, last week. Georgia has participated in the annual meeting since 2016. As an observer, the Ministry of Defense initiated the process of gaining full membership in 2013. The U.S. also sends a delegation to the meeting. Tbilisi hosted the third Caucasus Security Forum in 2015 this week. Topics were NATO and the Warsaw Summit, ISIS, Ukraine, and other stuff. Guests included NATO's special representative for the Caucasus, Central Asia, James Abdaoudi. He said that Georgia has all the necessary instruments to join NATO membership countries, but he also said that as for Georgia, we do not want to send a signal which will provoke Russia. The conference was organized by the Center for European and North Atlantic Affairs, or CENAA, GFSIS, and the Ministry of Defense. An update on Ministry of Education's Society and Me curriculum. As a reminder, a pilot of the curriculum was supposed to launch in schools this past September, but was unexpectedly delayed. The Education Ministry said they were still developing it and it wasn't ready yet. The program was to teach about civic identity, responsibility, and tolerance. The curriculum was criticized by traditional and conservative groups, and people suspect its introduction was delayed because of this criticism, which is the case. Now it is reported that the whole topic about gender identity was scrapped from the program, and on the 28th of October, Orthodox priests and their supporters protested outside the Ministry of Education about and against Society and Me. It's Tianiti region, about 75 kilometers from Tbilisi. It offers more than 400 public services. It is also a modern glass building and not a copy of the Sukhumi Party headquarters. On the 29th of October, the French Senate ratified the EU-Georgia Association Agreement. Georgia and Armenia signed an agreement to build a new bridge over the Debed River at the Sadaklo-Bagratishen border checkpoint. Currently, the border crossing point has only a narrow bridge that was built in Soviet times. The decision to build the new bridge was made last year between Prime Minister Karabashvili and Armenian President Hovik Abramyan. And it will be called a bridge of friendship. Construction will be carried out by the Georgian Ministry of Regional Development. Reportedly, Apple will gain official representation in Georgia in November. So far, there's only been an informal market dealing with Apple products, meaning there's no service guarantee. Hilton Hotels and Resorts expanding in Georgia. In May, they opened in Batumi.
They're building a mid-market Hilton Garden Inn on Chashevadze Avenue in Vake in Tbilisi. The EBRD provided $18.7 million in financing for it. Hilton said that after the Tbilisi Hotel, they will look to expand more, such as in the Poti-free economic zone, or maybe Kutaisi. Rugby hooker Jabba Beregvadze is joining the English Premiership Worcester Warriors. Beregvadze plays for the Lelos in the 2011 and 2015 Rugby World Cups. The last three seasons, he's been playing in France's top 14 for Toulouse. 18-year-old Vasil Lobjanidze, who's the youngest player in the national rugby team, was nominated for World Rugby's inaugural Breakthrough Player of the Year award. The other two nominees are from Scotland and New Zealand. The winner will be revealed on the 1st of November. At the beginning of the 15th and 16th school year, the Ministry of Education put specially trained resource officers into seven new schools in six regions of the country to create safe school environments. They're reporting now that it brought positive effects. School violence is significantly reduced. Vandalism is reduced. There are fewer student absences and latenesses and fewer students smoking. Remember Education Minister Dima Shashkin's mandaturebi, that a year before the parliamentary elections, UNM bludgeoned every school into having? Well, they're back, as we can see, a year before parliamentary elections. According to reports in Iranian media, Georgian citizens, along with citizens of several other European countries, can receive 30-day tourist visas for Iran upon arrival at the airport. The visas can be extended by 15 more days. Previously, tourists from Europe could get a 14-day visa at the airport, which could not be extended. Georgian Airways is in negotiations to launch a Tbilisi-London flight route for 2016. Low-cost Spanish airline Vueling Airlines plans to launch Tbilisi-Barcelona flights for next summer. There are also talks of a direct Tbilisi-Malta flight, but it's unclear for now which airline would carry it. The Teatro Regio Opera House in Turin, Italy, cast mezzo-soprano Anita Rachvelishvili in the role of Anne Meris in Verdi's Aida, all 10 performances in October. 20-year-old judoka Becca Gviniashvili was crowned world champion at the Junior Judo World Championship in Abu Dhabi last month. Gviniashvili won the European Junior competition, as reported, and became European champion. And Georgia's national junior judo team won the silver at the same 2015 World Championship final in Abu Dhabi. Georgia's national female chess team, Nona, won the European Chess Club Cup, held in Skopje, Macedonia, last week. National Archives received a new piece. Documents from Georgia's first diplomats in Germany and Sweden during the time of the Democratic Republic of Georgia from 1918 to 1921. The materials were kept in the archives of Germany and Sweden's foreign ministries before that. Fencer Irma Khetsouriani won the Wheelchair Fencing World Cup in Paris. It's run by the International Wheelchair and Amputee Sports Federation. Khetsouriani completed all three categories of saber, foil, and épée. In parliamentary news, on the 27th of October, Parliament passed a bill by lawmaker Zakaria Kutsnashvili on restricting bonuses for high-ranking officials with its first reading. The bill initiates changes in the law on public service to take effect in January 2017. Lawmakers, ministers, and their deputies, the heads of governmental administration, the head of the presidential administration, the secretary of the Security Council, national bank president, governors, and their deputies, judges, chief prosecutors, and their deputies, mayors, and city assembly chairmen, and other officials will not be able to get bonuses. Parliament's Human Rights Committee discussed a draft law proposing involuntary treatment for people with tuberculosis. According to the draft proposal, if a patient with TB refuses treatment, a court order can see them quarantined. The draft was initiated by the Health Care Committee. 3,850 cases of tuberculosis registered in Georgia in 2014. 2,807 were recent cases, according to health officials. Human Rights Committee has a draft bill for improving preschool education. They developed it in cooperation with UNDP and UNICEF. It has not been presented to Parliament yet. Still waiting on that, and it's an important bill. Parliament is also working on the rules governing the seizure of frozen assets in court cases. The concern is that sometimes large disputed property can be seized, even when the dispute is over very much smaller amounts of money. Lots of discussions about seizures these days. So the Association of Law Firms of Georgia are preparing draft amendments to the Civil Procedures Code with comments from AmCham. The meme this week is a video of new Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, congratulations Canada, making a big statement about allowing journalists to ask tough questions. The short video has been shared all over Facebook, including in Georgia, by the Future Diplomats Club and with Georgian subtitles. Stuff to read, the editorial board of the Washington Post wrote on the Rustavi 2 case saying that a seizure of a TV station would be a blow for Georgian democracy. In light of Russia's airstrikes in Syria, the New York Times via Reuters explores the misprecision of Russian air bombing to by looking at the August 2008 war and strikes on civilian targets in Gori. Natalia Antalava in The Guardian examines if Misha can survive long in Odessa to actually successfully reform the notoriously corrupt region. He's working all day, doing it to fight his war against Putin. Some of the troubles he's faced is that he didn't have the same resources as he did in Georgia, like access to the Interior Ministry or appearing on TV, while now in Ukraine he's mocked by the oligarch rivals on TV and on Russian channels. On Russian TV, he's mocked with a transgender prostitute who claims to be his lover. Antalava also has a full profile history on the energetic Won't Give You My Time Misha, his return to Shevardnadze's Georgia, the successes and excesses of his regime, the hopes for Odessa. UK Foreign Policy Center has a large new report on religion, power, and the role of church in Georgia, Moldova, Ukraine, and Armenia. Deutsche Welle looks at life behind the fence of the administrative boundary line in Georgia and South Ossetia. Maidan TV investigates the Aliyevs of Azerbaijan's business in Georgia. Very interesting article. Vice News will soon have a report on Russia's creeping occupation from the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. Here is a trailer. Telegraph reports that Kakha Bendukidze's, quote, secret daughter and her potential battle with his widow over his fortune. Open Democracy journalist and PhD student Inga Popovitye writes on Islamic radicalization in Pankisi and asks if it is just a self-fulfilling prophecy. She says that a distant government and sensationalist media coverage alienates the local Keith population further. Also for Open Democracy, political scientist Bakur Berakashvili says that Georgia now has a grotesque democracy, that in Georgia democracy is used by political and financial elites in order to strengthen their dominant positions, that their interests have systematically merged. For Carnegie Moscow Center, the argument is that the International Criminal Court investigation into the August 2008 war will probably be bad news for Georgia. Ynet News has an article on the Jewish community of Tbilisi. And for its 40th anniversary, Decanter lists their favorite wines for 2015. One judge selected a Snolikaudi grape wine from Imereti. Justin Galbraith for CRC looks at the language and audience problems that think tanks face in the South Caucasus. The Guardian covers an ongoing campaign to allow Georgia and Russia to enter the Six Nations in rugby. The DCist has a guide to Georgian wine, where to get it in DC. All this stuff to read will be posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 24, which is Georgia's ranking in the World Bank's Doing Business 2016 report. It has the highest ranking among the post-Soviet countries, excluding the Baltic states, and is ranked between Portugal and Poland. On a similar note, in Freedom House's New Freedom of the Net report, Georgia also got a score of 24, with 0 being the best, 100 being the worst. Georgia has a statute of free regarding freedom of the internet. The EU Week of Culture is running until the 8th of November with events all over Georgia. Go to euculture.ge and learn more. See the schedule. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpielpod@gmail.com or post the form on our website, www.tpielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1996, this is Gillian Welch and Tear My Stillhouse Down. We'll be right back.